Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning. Wednesday, February the 18th, 2026, 2-18-26. 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. And we've got a guest on the program today I've been wanting to have on for a long time. But I do want to remind everybody that our exclusive interview with President Emeritus of the Ohio State University, E. Gordon Gee, will air next hour, 9:15 until 10 o'clock. Now, it probably will not take up the whole hour because we taped the interview last Thursday, but it was after all the kerfluffle last week that Gordon Gee was involved with, including the Les Wexner comment that got him in some hot water back in January on WOSU. We talk about that in the interview, as well as the Ohio State sexual abuse case that was profiled in the documentary Surviving OSU. We talk about that. And the case last week, which really hit the fan, in which a professor at OSU had an altercation with a documentarian, and President Gee was in the vicinity when that was all going on. A matter of fact, the documentarian was trying to interview President Gee at the time, and Gordon Gee talks about it all next hour here on this station. And very quickly, I also want to send out condolences to the family of the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Reverend Jackson was on this show November 2nd, 2016, and hopefully in the next couple days we'll be able to play a short clip from that interview and remember the late civil rights icon. So rest in peace, Reverend Jackson. Now, turning to this hour, many of you know the primaries here in Ohio are just a couple months away. A matter of fact, Cinco de Mayo this year, May the 5th, will be primary day here in Ohio. And one person who will be facing a primary is John Kulwitz. He is in a primary on the Democratic side for Attorney General of the state of Ohio. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones for the first time, but hopefully not the last, John Kulwitz. John, how are you?
Fine, Mr. Spears. Thank you very much for having me this morning.
Good to have you on the program. John, why did you decide to run for Attorney General?
I decided to run for Attorney General to restore the honor and prosperity of our state. We've had nearly 36 years of almost uninterrupted one-party rule in the state of Ohio, and in the course of which we have had not only the worst political corruption and bribery scandal in our history, but we are now falling behind and way behind by almost every measure. The Republican nominee for Attorney General is an architect of the status quo. He's served 18 years in the General Assembly and served eight years as state auditor. He is an architect of the status quo. I want to give the people a choice for an aggressive new approach by an attorney general to make the economy of Ohio work better for everybody. We are falling behind by almost every measure. The Federal Reserve Bank tells us that our economic growth rate in Ohio, we're now number 45 in the nation. There are 44 states that are growing faster than the state of Ohio in their economies. Our median income has fallen to 88%. The national median income, that's if you take all the incomes of the state and pick the one in the middle, we are making 88% of what the national median income is. Our fellow Americans from coast to coast are making more than we are from doing the same work. We're projected to lose 700,000 more people in the state of Ohio over the next several years. So all that, I mean, that's if you like being number 45 in the nation, if you like making 88 cents on the dollar of what our fellow Americans make, if you like 700,000 people leaving the state of Ohio, then my opponent, who is an architect of the status quo, he's your guy. If you want an aggressive new approach by the Attorney General, though, to make the economy work better here for everybody, that's the choice I want to offer people.
John, I'm going to have you change the phone position because I want to make sure people hear you perfectly this morning.
Is this better?
That's better. That's better.
Thank
but I think they heard you, but I think that's a little better. Attorney General, for people who say, what can an Attorney General do to improve my life for the things you just mentioned, what would you say?
Yes, I would say that our Attorney General, once again, should take the lead on fighting consumer fraud in the state of Ohio, and it's consumer fraud that's stealing our money. There are scam artists is poised to prey on us in the state of Ohio. We need an attorney general who's going to fight that. And when you talk about consumer fraud, some of us think, well, that's somebody else. But we are all consumers. Just think of the number of consumer transactions we're going to have today, each of us. If we have the right to execute our consumer transactions in an honest market without deception. So if anybody is defrauding us or deceiving us, as attorney general, I would go after them and get that money back for people. And that also protects honest businesses in the state of Ohio. There's no reason that businesses that cheat should get ahead in the state of Ohio. I want to protect not only our consumers, but also our honest businesses in the state of Ohio. I want to crack down and make it a priority once again to fight wage theft. When an employer fails to pay an employee what he or she promised to pay them, I want to get that money for the employee. Or if an employer misclassifies overtime as regular employment or goes out of business and leaves hundreds of employees unpaid, I'm going to go after them to get that money for the people who earned it. The Attorney General should take the lead once again in fighting unlawful discrimination in the state of Ohio. Anything unlawfully that discriminates against us stands in the way of our success. The Attorney General should be leading the way in fighting that. We need an Attorney General once again who will take the lead in fighting collusion by monopolies to raise our prices. When monopolies sit down at a table and figure out they can make more, instead of competing against each other by lowering our prices, they can make more if they would stop competing and then raise our prices. The Attorney General should take the lead in fighting that. The Attorney General can protect our health in Ohio by fighting nursing home fraud, by fighting Medicaid provider fraud, by fighting elder abuse. All these things it's a matter of what priorities you give to it. The people of Ohio have given 1,400 employees and a $478 million annual budget to the Attorney General. I want to maximize what we do with that to protect the economic interests of the people of Ohio.
John, a lot of people have seen a down-ticket vote here in Ohio the last 10 years now, Democrat versus Republican. What makes you a Democrat? What about the Democratic Party represents you best?
Since I was a boy, since I was a young man, a boy, the Democratic Party has stood out to me as the party that fights for equal opportunity for everybody. It was the Democratic Party that, in our own lifetimes, brought about Medicare, brought about Medicaid, brought about the protections that we have in our workplaces. And the Democratic Party, to me, has stood for progress, and so the government will do its job, so that we can each pursue the dreams that we want to pursue in our lives, and that's the essence of the Democratic Party.
It seems as if the Democratic Party is doing very well in the polls this time around. We've got about 9 months to go before the election. But why has the Democratic Party not done well in Ohio for about the last decade now?
Yeah, last year when I was thinking of running for Attorney General, I went all around the state. I went to all 88 counties. And I tried to talk to the Democratic chair in each of the counties, but instead of talking to the other influential people in town, I swim every day, so I went swimming. I swam in all 88 counties, and you know, I met this cross-section. It's an absolutely wonderful cross-section of people there in Marion County and throughout the state of Ohio, all races, creeds, colors, incomes, educations, jobs, whatever you have it, but just talking to people. And what became really clear to me in the course of doing that is that politicians in general have stopped listening to people. We're not talking to people anymore. We're sending out pollsters. We're sending out consultants. But it's the politicians themselves who ought to be out there talking to people. So I had the most wonderful conversations with people in all 88 counties, every corner of the state, and getting a much better handle on what's important to people and what they expect out of an attorney general, what they expect out of the state government. Mm-hmm. So to me, and after you have those conversations, I would be leaving these pools, and people would say, "Hey, come back anytime." You know, what I heard in people saying that is, you know, nobody's listening to us anymore, and if they are, they don't care. But you know, so it makes a huge difference just to go out there and listen to people. I'm in my second term on the Upper Arlington City Council now, and each time that I've run for that, my campaign has basically been to try to knock on every door on every street. And I learned both times that I got a much better understanding of the community that I was serving by doing that. And the same thing, it's the same thing here while running for Attorney General.
It's very interesting this year. We also have a gubernatorial race coming up, Amy Acton on the Democratic side, and presumably Vivek Ramaswamy on the Republican side, although he does have a primary coming up on May the 5th. Do you feel that she's a good top of the ticket that could help your candidacy?
Absolutely. You know, Dr. Acton was one of the first people who I contacted last year, a year or so ago, when I started to explore running for Attorney General. She was the leading candidate for governor on the Democratic side at the time, so I knew our fates would be intertwined, and I wanted to meet her, and I was impressed right off the bat with her. And I watched her over the course of the past year, and she is on fire. I mean, if you cannot go and see her and watch her talk to people and see the obvious chemistry there. I mean, when people see Dr. Acton and hear her talk, what they see and hear is somebody who understands them, who's reaching out, who knows them, who knows what they need, who can help heal our state. So, I mean, she's on fire. She's attracting big crowds throughout the state of Ohio. It's growing every day. I've got great confidence in her. And you know, she keeps her feet on the ground, literally. I mean, she just going around the state and she's developed for as a professional, as a position, the same as me as a lawyer. You have to develop a capacity for listening carefully and understanding people. She exudes that quality. I think she's going to be a very strong gubernatorial candidate for the people of Ohio.
You know, John, I don't want to talk too much about Dr. Acton, but it was kind of interesting last week. A story broke that she was talking about Medicaid, which is one of the things you mentioned earlier, and she was talking about work requirements for Medicaid, which has typically been something that the Republican Party has wanted in Ohio. Were you surprised by her stance on that?
No, I was not surprised, and I support that. I mean, that's throughout that whole debate over the past several years. I support the work requirement, and just for definitional purposes, what the work requirement is that if you are able-bodied and if there is an opportunity to work, that you need to do that in order to be eligible for Medicaid. I don't have any problem with that. I think for several reasons. Number one, to sustain public confidence in that program, I think the people around the state of Ohio and around the United States, they need to see that people are doing what they can to get by. And number two, you know, I've seen cases of they call it toxic charity. Sometimes we feel better if we're paying something or doing something for what's given to us as opposed to simply accepting it for free. I remember years ago when we were done with our need for a baby bed. There was a family that had been displaced by hurricanes in the Caribbean. They were here in Ohio, and they needed one. So we gladly took it. I was delighted to be able to give it to them. But I always remember the look I saw in the eyes of the man, the father. There was this look like he was reluctant to accept something purely as a matter of charity. You know, we were delighted to give it. I wasn't expecting anything for it, but I think my sense of him is that he would rather have done something or given us something for that. So, you know, I think that I've got no objection to the idea of a work requirement. It needs to be managed. It can't be punitive. But if there is an opportunity to work and if you're able-bodied, I think it's fair to expect people to work.
John, tell people a little bit about your background.
I grew up in the northern suburbs of Columbus. When I was 5 years old, my parents bought their home on a street. It was two blocks below Morse Road, and on the north end of Columbus. And Morse Road at the time was a two-lane road through the country. And our street was the last street in the city, but it was a post-war suburb there. I grew up there. I went to St. Matthias grade school, and I had a newspaper route that allowed me to earn enough money to pay my tuition to go to St. Francis de Sales High School. Which is in our neighborhood. I was very fortunate to win a scholarship that allowed me to go to The Ohio State University, where I studied American history and loved every moment of that. I still do. I went straight from college to law school. I was at law school, Yale Law School in Connecticut, for 3 years there. I enjoyed law school, actually. I worked for a federal judge for a year after that as law clerk on the United States Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. And then I spent about 4 or 5 months in Africa on a low-budget trip from Cairo to Cape Town and came back to Columbus in January of 1981 and started working at a law firm called Voorhees, Sater, Seymour, and Pease. It's the largest law firm in town. I was there for 44 years as a litigator, meaning I went to court for people for a wide range of Ohio individuals, Ohio businesses. For 44 years, I took on and I won tough cases in the Supreme Court of the United States, the Supreme Court of Ohio, federal and state courts around the state of Ohio. I love being a lawyer. It's all I wanted to be since I was in third grade, and I love what I saw lawyers can do for people, and that's why I want to continue as a lawyer to serve the people of Ohio as Attorney General.
You'll be involved in a primary on the Democratic side on the Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th. Why are you the best choice in that Democratic primary?
I've had 44 years of legal experience in courts ranging from the Supreme Court of the United, Supreme Court of the United States to the Supreme Court of Ohio and courts around the state. You know, for 44 years, day in and day out, I've been doing that. And the Attorney General is the chief law officer of the state of Ohio. And you're called upon when you're Attorney General to make split-second decisions and important decisions for the people of Ohio. Experience and intuition really come into play at that point there, because you know what you do, you gather around, you, the same as I've done in litigation with teams, you gather around the table people who have different views about the issue that you're deciding. You got to hear from everybody, then you make the tough calls, and that's got to be informed by your experience and your intuition. I've been at it for over 44 years now, and understand, respect, and cherish what the legal process can do for people. That experience is far more extensive than either my Democratic opponent or my Republican opponent. I want to put that to work for the people of Ohio.
You know, one of your Democratic opponents in that primary made a comment in the last month that was certainly a topic of news. Elliot Forehand said that he was going to kill Donald Trump. Now, when you go through the video, he does explain that he's talking about well, let me just read it here so we don't misquote it. It says he made a post on social media in which Forehand tells the camera, "I want to tell you what I mean when I say that I'm going to kill Donald Trump. I mean I'm going to obtain a conviction rendered by a jury of his peers at a standard of proof beyond reasonable doubt based on evidence presented at a trial conducted in accordance with the requirements of due process resulting in a sentence duly executed of capital punishment. That is what I mean when I say that I'm going to kill Donald Trump." What do you make of this comment? I know you condemned it at the time, but what do you make of it as time goes along? Because certainly the Republican candidate, Keith Faber, came down very harshly against this.
Right. I just think it's really regrettable that if we go down the road, if things like that become the issue. That's not what the people of Ohio care about. When I was out there, going to all 88 counties, what people care about in Ohio, what's important to people and what the Attorney General can do for them is help them preserve their health insurance, help them preserve their pensions, help them preserve their jobs, help them get paid, help them be free of consumer fraud. And, you know, the thing I want to keep calling people's attention to is that for almost 36 years now, we've done everything that the Republican leaders have asked us to do. We've given huge tax cuts to the wealthy. We've started the dismantling of our public schools. We've relaxed environmental enforcement. We've cut back on local government funding. And it's gotten us absolutely nowhere. Nowhere. We're 45th in the nation in our economic growth rate. Our median income is 88% of the national median. You know, if the state of Ohio were a business and if you and I were the shareholders or the directors, we would absolutely at this point be calling in the management and into our boardroom and saying, look, come in, close the door, sit down. Thank you for your services. You are no longer needed. We are getting a new management team in the state of Ohio, and we're going to get a new lawyer who's going to go after things to make the economy of Ohio work better for everybody in Ohio. Those are the issues that people really care about. That's what we need to focus on in the state of Ohio. It's time for a big change in here. So it's when people make outrageous statements that are have nothing to do with that. I regard it as a regrettable distraction.
You know, something that people certainly are interested in Ohio right now is ICE. Certainly the people in Springfield, our Governor Mike DeWine has said on several different occasions now, and he's said on television, I think this was Governor DeWine's quote, if they lose temporary protected status, then they can no longer work and the companies can't employ them. That's a blow to the economy. It's a blow to the state. We need them. And then last week, our First Lady of Ohio, Fran DeWine, who does not speak out a whole lot politically, said that she is very happy that the Haitians in Springfield were given a reprieve from the federal administration's order to remove their protected status, which still stays in place at this moment. But there are protests going on at schools all across Ohio. What is your feeling on the Haitian population in Springfield at this point?
I applaud the leadership that Governor DeWine and Mrs. DeWine have taken to defend our Haitian friends who are living in Springfield. I went to Mass with them a couple weeks ago to the Creole Mass, and you cannot sit in church with these people from Haiti and be among them and see them. They are the same as you and me and everybody else. By every account, they are working hard in Springfield. They are there legally. They're there at the invitation of the U.S. The U.S. government has made it possible for them to be there. They're working hard. The employers in that community say they need them to fill the jobs. I haven't heard a single person saying, hey, they've taken my job. They need them. We're talking about 10,000 people who are now a backbone of the economy in Springfield and Clark County. We sat there in church a couple weeks ago, and you look at people one Sunday just praying that they would be there the next Sunday, that they would not be taken away. These are people that act, they're the same as you and me, and they're there lawfully. And for people to pick on them, to exploit them for political purposes, it's really sad. It's really sad. So we need to recognize the contribution that they're making to the economy over there, and I'm glad that the governor and First Lady have spoken out in their defense.
If you were elected Attorney General, what could you do and what would you do for that population?
Number one, 3 years ago, the General Assembly instructed the Attorney General to create a 10th Amendment Center in the Office of the Attorney General. And the job of that center, by the instruction of the Attorney General, is to monitor federal actions for potential abuses of authority against the Constitution of the United States. I've called upon Attorney General Yost, the incumbent Attorney General, to activate that and to make sure that we are watching out, protecting our rights, the rights of our state and the rights of our people against possible abuses of federal authority. Secondly, the Attorney General is responsible for the training and certification of our law enforcement personnel in the state of Ohio. We've made great strides in local communities across the state of Ohio in the past several years in training and certification of our law enforcement officers. I want to continue on that trajectory to give our law enforcement officers the experience and the training and the help that they need when they come upon a law enforcement situation. They have to make a split-second decision as to what to do. I want to make sure that they are equipped to handle that. My Republican opponent has praised the ICE agents for acting in accordance with their training. He's one of the few people remaining in America who defends what happened to the protesters in Minnesota, and says that they're responsible for their own deaths. I mean, even our president, in his own way, has acknowledged that things got out of hand there. But not my Republican opponent. You know, we had an ice age in Ohio 10,000 years ago, literally, and we don't need another ice age in Ohio now.
It is interesting. We had State Auditor Keith Faber on, who's running for Attorney General on the Republican side, when that was all going on. And there were two articles I think there was one in the Columbus Dispatch that was titled, "Rene Good Wasn't an Innocent. I Won't Tolerate Lawlessness as Ohio AG." And then there was another article, I don't think it was in the Dispatch, but it was "Turning Down the Rhetoric, A Call for Civility and Accountability." What do you make of Auditor Faber's comments and feelings toward ICE?
Well, I tell you, the one thing that I would not do as Attorney General is to jump to conclusions, and rush to conclusions. We saw our President do that, we saw our Vice President do that, and we've seen Auditor Faber do that. It's very important, especially especially in an officer-involved shooting incident, to get all the facts before you start giving your opinions and conclusions here. I don't think Audit Faber had all the facts. He ought not to have blamed Renee Good for her own death, but while the facts were still coming in. You know, the Attorney General is responsible when local communities ask the Attorney General to do so, to investigate and to present officer-involved shooting evidence to the grand jury. It's really important that the Attorney General do that in an unbiased, fair way where you're going to get all the facts here. I was surprised to see him blaming Renee Good for her own death, and that he's not retracted that as to the subsequent death of the Veterans Administration nurse who was killed up there while defending somebody else. So I took great exception to those with the Dayton Daily News and the Toledo Blade published my responses to that, and I thought it was very regrettable that the auditor would take that position.
ICE is a very interesting topic right now because of what happened in Minnesota, and a lot of people in Ohio are very concerned about how many ICE law enforcement officers will be here, what will they do, where will this go? What can an attorney general do in this particular case?
Well, a couple of things come to mind. Number one, you're responsible for training and certification of our law enforcement personnel in the state of Ohio. So make sure that they at least are equipped to deal with situations like that. These are highly inflammatory, incendiary situations. I want to make sure that our local law enforcement officials are in a position to handle that. And number two, I would do everything I can to make sure that the Attorney General would retain a role in the investigation if, God forbid, something as happened in Minnesota happened in the state of Ohio. And the federal government in Minnesota ousted the state of Minnesota, the local authorities, from the investigation up there. It's vitally important that the state of Ohio, which has an independent interest in determining the facts of a situation like that, be integrally involved in the investigation. I would do everything I could to make sure that we did not get shut out of that.
What is the main difference, as you see it right now, between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party in Ohio?
I think the main difference is it's a matter of focus. The essence of the Republican Party's position has been that, look, if we give tax breaks to the wealthy, if we dismantle our public schools, if we relax enforcement, if we cut local government funds, things are going to be better in the state of Ohio. We've tried that for 36 years now, and they're not. It's gone exactly in the opposite direction. The Democratic Party, we learned a really good lesson in November 2024. We got whacked in the state of Ohio, and I think that's caused a lot of soul-searching, and I can tell you from talking to Democrats and everybody around the state of Ohio that there is a strong consensus that we need to focus once again on making the economy of Ohio work better for everybody in Ohio, not just for the wealthy, not just for those who can afford to go to other schools like that. I mean, that's the essence of it, and it's incumbent upon every candidate on the Democratic ticket to explain, as I have with respect to what I would do as Attorney General, to explain specifically what we're going to do to make life better for the people in Ohio. It's not, obviously, it won't do for us simply to call out the Republicans on the failures of Republican leadership. We need to show the people what the alternative is, and that's what I'm doing, and that's what I intend to continue doing. You know, one other interesting thing that development in Ohio over the past several years is that we now have 8 million registered voters in the state of Ohio, and by the most recent numbers, and using round figures, 850,000 are voting in the Republican primary, 450,000 vote in the Democratic primary. So that's 1.3 million people, but 6.7 million registered voters in Ohio now are affiliated with neither party, and that's a historic level. And what those 6.7 million people are saying, what they say when I talk to them around the state of Ohio, is we want to look at the candidates. We want to see what the candidates are going to offer us. So I think people are looking for a change in Ohio, and I think the Democratic Party is in a much better position to present that, to present a new and more aggressive way of protecting our economic interests.
How can the Democratic Party appeal to that group?
by talking with people directly. I see it in every corner of the state. You cannot. You know, what I found when I was running for city council in Upper Arlington, you cannot do that day after day, go door to door and talk to people without becoming completely committed to the people who you're serving. And when we do that in the state of Ohio, if we just focus on getting on talking to people about the lives that they're leading, about what they need in their lives, what the state can do to create the conditions so that we each can pursue our dreams and ambitions for ourselves and our families. Like that, to the extent that we focus on doing that, we're going to be much more successful, and we're going to be delivering what people expect a political party to deliver.
You talked a little bit about Governor DeWine earlier. He's at the end of his two-term gubernatorialship. What do you make of the time of Mike DeWine?
I think Governor DeWine has exceptionally good instincts for people. I've been able to talk with him once or twice over the years about how things are going around the state, and it jumps out at me how closely he listens to people, what good instincts and intuitions he has about how politics are going in the state of Ohio. I think he's been put in a really tough position. We have a legislature that has become so gerrymandered that it's becoming such a far right extreme legislature. He's given limited alternatives in dealing with that. I think he's in many respects tried to do the best he can do, but his options are really limited. You know, I think what we'll see, and what I would forecast coming up this year, is that people are going to give the Republican Party a big surprise. The one thing that the more gerrymandered it gets, the less people they're talking to, the more out of touch they get with the people of the state of Ohio. And I think what I see happening this year, I would not be running if I didn't think it was going to happen. That people have had enough of that. They want leaders who are there to serve them and not a particular agenda or ideology.
What do you make of the First Energy scandal? People going to jail. Just a big mess.
It's the largest political corruption and bribery scandal in our history. I'm surprised and disappointed that it's taken so long for the system of justice to hold people accountable, and it's still going on. I'm glad people are being held accountable. They should be held accountable. When I become Attorney General, one of the first things I want to know is what took so long and bringing people to justice.
Do you think that this is somewhat business as usual? Is this how business is conducted in politics?
Well, I sure hope not. But it's one of the things that happens when you have one-party government, as we essentially have had for the past 36 years in Ohio right now. If nobody's there, let me step back one second. Competition makes us all better, and no matter what sphere of life you're talking about here. When you don't have that, and you don't have two-party competition at the state level like that, and when everybody's all part of the same team, it ultimately can be no surprise that it degenerates into things like this, where there aren't people that call people out on what they're doing. So I'm hopeful that if we can restore two-party government to the state of Ohio, we can avoid situations like this in the future.
You know, certainly a hot topic this week, and definitely today, is Ohio billionaire Les Wexner, whose name is on a lot of buildings down at Ohio State, and who has given, I believe I read last night, $750,000 to political campaigns, is certainly under the gun. He's going to testify in front of Congress. He also will be deposed in the Ohio State sexual abuse scandal. A lot of people want his name taken off the buildings. A lot of politicians are giving back their campaign contributions to be used other places. What do you make of this whole Les Wexner situation?
I think it's absolutely fair game as an issue for us to be learning about, understanding. I want to get more facts before I express any come to any conclusions about what I think is the right way to proceed. There are things that the Attorney General of Ohio may be called upon to do, so I want to be especially careful to hear both sides of the story and get all the facts and then line them up against what the statutes require. But I think it's absolutely fair game for public discussion and debate right now, and it's something that we ought to make sure we can bring all the relevant facts to light.
Well, what do you make of the people who are giving back their campaign contributions?
I think each person who's received contributions like that needs to decide for himself or herself what to do. I think to maintain public confidence in our process, it helps. It's helpful for people to be returning the contributions or donating them to charity in one form or another. But the ultimate point, we don't want to lose sight of the fact, the ultimate point of the whole matter is to maintain public confidence in our system of government here. So I think that's the question that each candidate who's received money has to ask themselves: what will better maintain public confidence in the process?
Are you surprised by the blowback in how many people and groups want his name taken off of these buildings?
A little surprised, yes. I mean, just because it's become the name is everywhere now. So you know, we've all gotten accustomed to that, and so there's a reciprocal blowback here now that we're seeing. I'm surprised that it's come on so fast and so intensively. I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon, and I do think it frames the issue really well that we ought to be focusing on.
You know, people, we talked a little bit earlier, are very interested in the gubernatorial race. What do you make, we talked about Amy Acton, what do you make of Vivek Ramaswamy?
I don't know quite what to make of Mr. Ramaswamy. He's been a constituent of mine. I serve on the Upper Arlington City Council. I'm in my second term. I reached out to him early in my first term just because I heard about him, and he has vast experience. I was interested in his ideas about what we could do on a local government level, but I never heard back from him. So I've not had the chance to meet him or talk with him. I think he would do better for himself and for his ticket if he would get out of his airplane and travel Ohio in a Jeep the way I do and the way Dr. Acton does. Just actually meeting people and meeting real people. And sometimes if you meet people out of the political context, it's much more informative and helps you a lot better in forming an understanding of what the state of Ohio is. I mean, if all you do, my impression of what his campaign consists of is getting in his private jet and flying from fundraiser to fundraiser and political event to political event across the state of Ohio, and that's his business. You know, more power to him. It's the way he thinks is best for him. So I don't want to second guess him, but I just think that you run a huge risk of losing touch with people real fast and real dramatically if that's the way you campaign.
Does President Trump's endorsement, which he has, still hold as much weight in Ohio as it has in the past? Can it still put you over the top?
It's hard for me to say. Hard for me to say. I think Republicans would know the answer to that better than I would. What I see, I can tell you what I see across the state of Ohio. I'm not oblivious to the fact that President Trump has won Ohio three consecutive times with increasing margins each time. I'm certainly aware of that. But I can tell you what I see and hear every corner of the state of Ohio is people wondering, man, what has happened here? This is not what we signed up for, not what we thought would happen. And, I can put a finger on it. The weekend that things changed after the east wing of the White House was bulldozed. For some reason, Republicans across the state started talking to me then. Said, tell me more about your candidacy. Tell me more about your campaign. Because I think with the look I saw in their eyes and the tone I heard in their voices was, this is so far beyond anything that we ever dreamed would be happening. And by the way, where are all these jobs that he promised would come back to Ohio in 2016? Where are all the neighborhoods he promised would be restored? Why is our economy not getting better? So people... what I see people doing is assessing the situation across the state of Ohio and thinking that this president has not delivered what he said he would deliver. So a Republican would know better than I would in terms of what the effect of all that's going to be on, upon Republican voters. But I can tell you my own anecdotal experience across the state of Ohio is that people are seriously reexamining what we've done.
Just because we're all taking a look at it every day, and you being somebody who's obviously involved and interested in the law, what do you make of the Attorney General of the United States, the FBI, the Department of Justice, how things have been operating since President Trump came back into office?
Well, I tell you, one of the main items on my agenda as your next Attorney General is to depoliticize the office of the Attorney General of the state of Ohio. I'm old enough to remember attorneys general, Democrat and Republican, earlier in my life, who ran a strictly non-political office. I mean, obviously, the attorney general is an elected official, so you engage in the political process. But once they got there, it didn't matter if they hired Democrats or Republicans. They wanted the lawyers who would do the best job for the people of the state of Ohio, and they were focused on the essential needs of the people of the state of Ohio. Our current attorney general, you know, has a different approach. A couple weeks ago when he made a big splash going to Washington to be there when the Supreme Court of the United States heard a case involving laws of other state on one of these culture war issues, and he got nice headlines and a great photograph from it. But I would be completely different. I mean, you would probably not hear about the things I'm doing because they're all going to be the standard routine day-to-day things, getting back money for people who have been cheated, getting wages for people from whom their wages have been robbed, fighting monopolies, fighting nursing home fraud, things like that. But these are non-political issues. They are the highest priority for the people of Ohio, and they're absolutely non-political issues. So I guess my thoughts are the same about the U.S. Department of Justice. I see a department there that, you know, at least to my eyes, has become far more political than it has been before. And I certainly don't want to go in that direction in the state of Ohio. I think we need to depoliticize the office of Attorney General to serve everybody in Ohio, regardless of what party you're in.
When you say Dave Yost's office has been political, what do you mean?
By focusing on these, making it a priority to engage in these culture war cases in other states, other courts around the country, they attract far more attention, and they certainly appeal to one man in Washington, but they're not. They're not what's on the minds of the people of Ohio. People need help here, holding on to their health insurance, holding on to their pensions, getting their money back from consumer scams, stopping fraud in the state of Ohio. I mean, those things have gotten a lot lower priority in recent years. And we need to make it a number one priority if we're going to serve the people of Ohio.
How do you think history will look back at our current Attorney General, Dave Yost?
I think it'll look back on Attorney General Yost as he's very down to earth. I mean, he certainly is a very unpretentious man. Makes an effort to keep his feet on the ground, so to speak. I think people will remember that about him. I think he's gotten caught up in an ideological skirmish in the Republican Party that I don't know as much about, but it's obviously been prejudicial to his gubernatorial ambitions. But I think we'll see, though, especially if we change in the Attorney General's office, that things have become more political there than they ought to be, and we need a renewed focus on the needs and interests of the people of the state of Ohio.
John, we've got about 3 minutes left here. Why should people vote for you in the Democratic primary on May the 5th for Attorney General?
Well, you know, with the first interview that I had after I declared my candidacy in September was with Colleen Marshall here in Columbus, and she asked me kind of a similar question. She said, what's the one thing you want people to remember about your candidacy, to know or remember? And I thought for a second, and what I told her was, he cares about my paycheck. And there was silence on the air for about 2 or 3 seconds, which is very rare in a broadcast situation. She said, boy, that's really good. And I said, I mean every single word of that. I care about the ability of people to earn the paycheck, to get the training they need, to be able to get a job free of extraneous factors and to do their job and get recognized at work for it. I care about the ability of people to keep their paycheck, to keep it free of wage theft, to keep it free of scams, to keep it free of fraud, and then I care about the ability of people to use their paycheck in an honest, open market that's fair and non-deceptive. So I guess if you want a candidate who cares about your paycheck, that's my number one priority.
Do you think the voters in the state of Ohio understand that the attorney general can affect their paycheck?
I think they do when I talk to people about that. I mean, everybody knows that the attorney general has something to do with law because it's called the attorney general. But as I explain to people what the attorney general can do for them, these are things that have been forgotten because they don't get as much attention lately. But when I explain to people what the attorney general can do for them, people come to light and they see that, and the response is, you know, go for it, absolutely, thank you.
Mm. What is the one thing you want people to know about John Kulowitz, the man?
I love Ohio. I've grown up here. I've lived here. I've practiced law here. My family's here. It's where I've raised my family. It's where I've had my law practice. I love every part of the state, and I want to do everything I can to make life better for everybody in Ohio as the next attorney general.
And how confident do you feel in your chances of winning the primary?
I feel good about it. I welcome the primary because it gives me a head start on getting the attention of Democrats and people in Ohio for the general election. I welcome the opportunity to seek and earn their votes.
John Kulowitz has been the guest. He is one of the candidates in the Democratic primary for Attorney General coming up on May the 5th. John, I thank you so much for coming on the program, and I hope we can do it again very soon.
Well, thank you, Mr. Spears. I do as well. Thank you for having me this morning.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
John Kulowitz, candidate in the Democratic primary for Attorney General, and yes, it's coming up on Cinco de Mayo. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to The Place for the Best Guests and Talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Both.